And I have with me on the line Rabbi Galperin.
Good morning, Ilan.
Good morning. How are you?
I am doing well, thank God. How are you?
I'm fine. So, pardon?
I said, that's great.
That's great. Parshat Yitro.
Parshat Yitro, yes. Very, very important parsha because it talks about, so we have the Ten Commandments in it as well. But we've seen this historic portion that Moses, his father-in-law, Yitro, hears of the great miracles that God performed for the people of Israel, obviously coming from Egypt and so on and so forth. And he advises Moses to appoint a set of magistrates and judges to assist him in the task of governing and administrating the justice to the people. And as well as the children of Israel camp opposite Mount Sinai, where they're told that God has chosen them to be his kingdom of priests, Am Kadosh, a holy nation. And the people respond by saying that all that God has spoken, we shall do. And on the sixth day of the third of the month of Sivan, 7 weeks happens to be after the Exodus, the entire nation of Israel is set at the foot of Mount Sinai. And God descends, and then there's the shofar, and so on and so forth, and Moshe descends. And the ten commandments are then given. Now there's the famous story of the locomotive that was making its first appearance in a little town, and no one has ever seen a horseless carriage before. And every one of the townspeople gathered at the new station to witness history in the making. The gun was fired, and then there was huffing and puffing. Everyone was running, and all of a sudden comes the locomotive, and it roared out of the station. Well, the engine roared out of the station. Unfortunately, the shlemiel, the person didn't know what he was doing, whose job was it to hitch the other cars to the engine, had forgotten to do so. So the long train of carriages left behind in a trail of smoke. So sometimes the most meticulously laid plans, a business strategy, a football game plan, a synagogue resolution made on Yom Kippur, they fail to come to fruition, all because we neglected to hitch the engine to the train. And the introduction of the Ten Commandments, which we read in this week's parsha, is, and God spoke all these words to say. Now in Hebrew, lemor, the word lemor, now, when the Torah says the word lemor, it says to say. And what's the reason? It's usually because God is telling Moses something important, which Moses in turn should pass on and tell the children of Israel. So the word lemor makes perfect sense. He said to him, to say to them. But here we have a problem. Because every Jew was present at Sinai. And according to the mystics, Kabbalah, that includes even the unborn souls of the future generation. So there was no need for Moses to pass on anything to anyone. All the Jews heard the Ten Commandments directly from God. So why the word lemor? Why the word to say? To say to whom? What's the purpose of that? And we know that the Torah doesn't use words that don't have a specific reason, specific meaning. Torah doesn't decide to say lemor because it has no other better words to use. Now the story is told of Reb Dov Ver, the great Maggid of Mizrich. The Maggid generally is a great sage, and in those times they would call him the sage of the city he was coming from. So he was the Maggid of Mizrich, which is the Mizrich, the city that he came from. And explained that the word lemor means to speak to you. That these words should not remain just words, but should resonate and say something meaningful to us and to our personality and to us personally. They should be said and heard so they continue in us and inspire us forever, even when we don't think about it that much in our hearts, in our mind, in our deeds, in our ma'asim. And the Ten Commandments does not remain an abstract idea, an unhitched engine. That is a nice philosophy or an interesting cultural practice. That's something of no more significance to yourself than the rituals of any other religion or any other aspect. So the Ten Commandments must be really relevant enough to make a difference in our lives. Otherwise, if it doesn't, whom did God say them? And for what for? What did he care for? He didn't want us to take it in us. So the Talmud, which is the Gemara, describes that a thief who prays, I think we mentioned this once before about the thief, that a thief who prays to God for success for breaking into committed burglary. Now if you think about it, the epitome of hypocrisy. God told us by the Ten Commandments, you shall not steal. And then you have the audacity to ask him to help you succeed in defying his wishes. This has got to be the ultimate, as they say in Hebrew, the ultimate chutzpah.
Yeah.
How do we get a handle? How does this make sense? How do we understand the Gemara's bringing down of this hypocrisy of the thief? And the answer is that this thief is as well a believer, but his faith is superficial and doesn't permeate his being sufficiently. It doesn't help him to influence his behavior. So therefore, deep down he's a real thief. Deep down he's not a real thief. It's what covers him. His emunah, his belief is deep down, but that's covered up. And so, you know, they tell a story of a rabbi who was in his study when in walked Beryl, who was the town pickpocketer. And he says, Rabbi, I was walking down the street and I found this wallet lying on the ground. I know that I have to return it. A lost article is a mitzvah of the Torah. So I brought it in. Perhaps you can make an announcement in shul and find the rightful owner, whoever owns this wallet. And the rabbi sees there in the wallet is a lot of money, is a lot of cash. He's so inspired by Beryl's change of heart that, you know, he's not the pickpocketer anymore, and he's bringing back, he's returning an item, and he embraces him and he congratulates him on his change. Later, the rabbi notices that the gold watch he had in his jacket pocket is missing.
Mm-hmm.
So he called Beryl and he asked him, you know, if perchance, by mistake, he may have inadvertently taken his watch. And Beryl confessed. He said, I don't understand. And Beryl says, you know what? It's true. So the rabbi said, I don't understand. You find the wallet full of cash in the street, and then you return it. And then you go and you steal my gold watch. So Beryl answers and says, Rabbi, a mitzvah is a mitzvah, but business is business.
That's it.
So we all believe and we all want to do mitzvahs, big and small, the big, the hard ones, the easy ones. The trick is to translate our inner piety into our outer practice. What does my faith do for me? Does it speak to me? How does it transform my behavior, my life? Does it make any tangible difference in my everyday behavior? And the Torah must not remain a theory, in book, on a drawing board. The Ten Commandments do indeed speak to us. They are meant for our day-to-day life. They have messages for us. The question is, are we listening? And that's what I think is so important. You know, we read the three to Ten Commandments. We read about Moshe. They're all very nice. We read about that the Jews received the Torah. Beautiful. It's a beautiful philosophy. It's a beautiful history. How does that pertain to my life? How does that make a difference in my life? And that's what this week's Torah tells us when he says, Lamor is saying, that it says to each and every one of us. We shouldn't at least, you know, just be the engine running down the street but there is nothing attached to it. We have to have our mitzvot attached to it. We have to have our family attached to it. We have to have our community attached to it. That we have an effect that we should say to them to have the effect on the other person. And that's what this historical book teaches us.
That's great. How do we do with the Purim arrangements?
Purim is rarely coming down. You know, we're down to nearly 3 weeks or something. And so June 24th, which I believe is that Sunday, last Sunday of the month. February 24th is the last Sunday of the month. We're going to be having our annual big Purim party. It's under the theme of this year is Purim in Israel. And
just to let our listeners know, where will it take place?
It will take place at the JCC in the gym.
Yeah.
At 4 o'clock is going to be the Megillah reading, if you didn't get a chance to read that, with a simultaneous slideshow for the kids. And 4:30 the party will start. We will have a big kotel set up. You can write the Western Wall, you can write letters to it, and after the Purim party the next day, we will send all those letters to the real Western Wall in Israel. You have to bring a toy, which we're going to have a toy drive for kids of Israel that don't have anything, that lost things in wars or so on and so forth. We're going to send that to them as well. You know, there's going to be an Israeli buffet dinner, and there's going to be music, and we're working on getting some entertainment. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So it's $15 an adult, and we were able to secure this year a endowment from the Jewish Community Center, giving us an endowment fund. So any child 12 years and under are free.
Great.
So I encourage everyone to come out, and if anyone has an extra Israeli soldier costume or so on and so forth, I'm on the hunt. I'm looking for one.
Okay.
So let me know.
I can't help you.
Yeah. But that is Sunday, February 24th at 4 o'clock, and it's open to the community. Please RSVP so we know exactly who's coming, and it's all the food is being catered, so we have to know sort of a number around how many are going to be coming. You can either call 519-256-2572, or you can email windsorrabbi@gmail.com, and we will be more than happy to help. And we look forward to seeing everyone, and it's going to be a beautiful forum.
Great. Good. So, Shabbat services.
Shabbat services Friday evening are 5:30. Saturday morning are 9:30. And we have Minyan Sunday morning at 8:15, and followed by breakfast, as well as Monday and Thursday in the Parashat at 7:15, and we're done before 8. So it's a good way to start off your morning before you go to work.
That's great. Rabbi, I wanted to wish you Shabbat Shalom.
You too, thank you.
And hang there till your wife is back.
Yes, we will manage. You know, my wife's away for till Monday, so she went to a Chabad Rabbi's women's conference for the rabbi's wives only. So I'm left at home with the three kids, but we're managing.
I'm sure you'll do a great job.
Thank God.
So thank you again.
All right, be well. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Bye-bye.